Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you getting out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and join us for the next hour's ride, because we're going to have a little bit of fun today. Barbecue Bob is out on sabbatical. He's down in, Louisiana, down there at a trade show for the barbecue and patio business. So I'm sure he's going to be coming back with lots of new ideas and about new equipment. So joining me today as a co-host is one of my favorite people on this earth, because he stands on the other side of the bar when I go to my favorite microbrew, and he's telling me all about the brews, and that's Nick Roloffs from the Gravel Bottom Brewery. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, I'm glad you're here. And a little bit later in the show, we've got another guest that's going to be joining us. He's actually sitting in right now, but we're going to be talking to him at length, and that's Jeff Butzo from Fish Lads and Carvers. You're not going to want to miss this segment, because what I've got for the first time ever is an expert on fish and seafood. We talk about four-legged grill meat all the time, as you know, and some two-legged when we're doing the yard birds. But we don't spend a lot of time on the ocean and the fresh water. And we're fortunate enough to have Jeff with us. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Hey, man. You don't know how glad I am you're here, because we're going to have a lot of fun and learn a little bit about this. But before we get into all of that, I want to talk a little bit about this week and what happened. As you know, Barbecue Bob and I went over to Michigan State. Our Sparties didn't fare so well. Hail to the victors. I'll give credit where credit's due. And, you know, I root against Michigan only on one day a year, and that's when they play Michigan State in football. Well, I guess two, because they'll play basketball too. But at the end of the day, the better team won, and we're salute to them. But in that process, our friends at Wells Fargo had us over, and we did a big tailgate. There was about 150 people there, and we threw down beef loin. That was a little bit of a challenge, because we only had a gas grill to cook it on, and if you've ever cooked a whole beef loin before, you've got a big end, which is about the size of a softball, and you got the small end, which is about the size of a golf ball. And that thing cooks uneven, and we were rotating it and cooking it, and when it's that thick piece on the end, it gets pretty done on the outside on a gas grill, even though we were using the Tech Infrared, before it gets done on the inside. So what we ended up doing to compensate for that is we charred the whole thing on the outside, and then as it cooked, we started cutting off the smaller end up to the thicker end, and then we laid it sideways on the grill when we got to the real thick part, just put a little color on the outside of it. It was still medium rare, but put that on a fresh Kaiser roll with a little bit of horseradish sauce and a little bit of blue cheese. Man, those things flew off the tray.
So, I bet.
Yeah, it was a good time. And we had a big Bloody Mary bar that was there. That was a lot of fun. So we were able to pair that up. We did mimosas, and then we switched to beer, Nick, afterwards.
My
so
domain.
we had a lot of different beers there. But if you heard me say beef tenderloin with blue cheese, what would have you put with it?
Okay, beef tenderloin, blue cheese, man. Like, first impulse, you got to have something kind of to backbone that. I mean, my go-to is always an IPA, because I like, you know, the refreshing, happy character. It's got enough bitterness to kind of keep it balanced. But I think, honestly, with that blue cheese, you might be better off with something like a little bit heartier, like a kind of like a toasty brown ale, or like a slightly, you know, like a robust port or something like that. It's going to complement that, you know, rich, meaty character, and even the creaminess of that blue cheese going to be counteracted by that roastiness of that, you know, nice flavor of that porter.
Yeah, great. That's great advice. Listen to that. The man knows his beer. We're going to be doing that all throughout the show, is giving you little tidbits on what kind of beer to drink with the food we're doing. Before we got into the beer, we did the little Scottish eggs, which is just, it's the simplest, stupid little itty-bitty thing that we do, but people just love these things. I went over to a butcher shop and got some kielbasa that was, and I uncased it, right? So, and then you take a hard-boiled egg, you put a little patty of that kielbasa in there, flatten it down in your hand, and then drop the egg in the middle and roll it up like a ball, like a snowball, right? Mm-hmm. Just so there's about a quarter inch of that kielbasa around the outside of the egg. Threw that thing on the smoker for 45 minutes at about 250. I don't know. We had four dozen of them, right? We took them off there. When I took those things off and I sliced the first one, there were people like, well, how'd you inject that egg inside of that piece of sausage? And I'm like, well, okay, we'll explain that one away. She is in college, but, you know, she was a freshman.
That's like people asking when you put the alcohol in the beer process.
Yeah.
So when does it go in? Oh, my. You really don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, we sliced those up and served those, and it was like a flock of seagulls, man. As soon as those things came out and the first guy tried one, he's like, oh, my. That's a lot better than it looks. I'm like, yeah, we brought it today. So they had a lot of fun with that. Those went very well with the Bloody Mary. We finished up, and we're going to have a guy named Andrew Smith. He's a corporate chef, but he spent many, many, many years in kitchens. Andrew's going to be joining us later in the show, and Andrew has a marinade that he puts on lamb chops that is the best I've ever had. Well, we bought 20 pounds of lamb chops, and if you know anything about lamb chops, that's a bunch of lamb chops. We had marinated those things for 24 hours, and we brought them out, let them drip dry a little bit because they were in olive oil as part of the marinade. That flares up on a grill, if you don't know that, when it drips off and hits your coals. So we grilled those up to a fine medium rare, presented them, sprinkled a little chef salt on the top of those, and just drizzled a little bit of our Old World Olive Company Meyer Lemon olive oil on top of that, and serve those up. Excellent, excellent tailgate food, because it's food with a handle,
yeah.
Right? That little French bone
finger
on
food.
There, you just take a picture of
or
that in your head.
It depends
and,
on
oh, man, it was fabulous. Those things went like crazy. People couldn't believe that we were doing lamb chops at a tailgate, but, you know, that's how the grilling guys roll. So, but anyway, so we had a lot of fun. Jeff, after hearing all that stuff, does Carver's carry lamb chops on a regular basis?
Yeah, we have them full. We do a full rack that's all Frenched out, and then we can also do the lollipops like you're talking about,
right?
Which is a really nice way to go, especially for the grill.
Yeah, yeah. And you can buy those by the pound?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, not every butcher shop is going to carry those.
Right.
And Jeff is he actually has two roles. He's the proprietor of two different businesses, which is this thing is like an absolute home run with the grilling guys. Because he owns a butcher shop and he also owns Fish Lads. The butcher shop is called Carver's. The fish shop is called, is it a fishmonger? Is that the proper word? What is it? Where are we supposed to?
Fishmonger kind of encompasses pretty much anybody that works there. You know, I mean, it's mostly guys that are out front, you know, helping with selection and able to be hands-on with processing and cutting and handling the fish. You know, the guy in the apron, that's your fishmonger.
Okay.
For sure.
All right, but he's the proprietor. He has mongers working for him.
That's right.
So he's a monger master.
I spent many years being a monger.
Yeah.
It's a different word for, you know.
Right.
I bet you did. Yeah, in the next segment, we're going to dive into his background a little bit before we take a swim around the shop so that we can make sure that we understand. But, Nick, tell us a little bit about your background. You're going to be sitting in the co-pilot chair the rest of the day.
Oh,
so let our listeners,
lots of pressure.
Right. Let our listeners know a little bit about your background so when they're taking your advice, they know it's good.
It's actually a funny story because if I were to look back 10 years ago and examine myself and tell myself, hey, guess what you're going to be doing 10 years from now, I would have told myself to shut up because, you know, I was never somebody who, you know, wanted to try beer or alcohol or anything coming out of high school. And it wasn't until a trip to Germany completely changed my mind about beer. Because, you know, what do you ever have a sip off of? Your dad's like, here, try a sip of this beer. And it's, you know, a domestic.
Right.
And the first taste, you're kind of, wrinkle your face at it. Some people acquire that taste. But it really didn't come to me. But first beer that I had in Germany of any consequence was a local Hefeweizen.
Okay.
And I remember taking that first sip. And it was a free beer, too, so that made it even better, probably.
They're always good that way.
Absolutely. But I remember taking that first sip and just being like, spiced bread, you know, that estery characteristic of the yeast, you know, the richness of the malt, the creaminess of the texture. It was just, this is beer? And
yeah.
That began, you know, suddenly I dove when I got back from Germany back to the United States, craft beer, you know, went, picked up a six-pack, tried all these different styles, found I liked the darker beer over the course of time. Developed into much more of an IPA kind of person. And that's where I got into it in terms of tasting.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, we're going to explore that a little bit more, but you just need to know that Nick's the man. He has a command of the beer business, and another guy that's got a command of things is our buddy Jeff Butzo from Fish Lads and Carver's. And stick with us. We'll be back. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard. Fire up a grill or a smoker or even a deep fryer, because all of that, we're still being blessed with wonderful weather, at least where we are, and still a lot of time to get out in your backyard and make a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Right now, we've got a gentleman joining us named Jeff Butzow, and Jeff is with Fish Lads and Carver's. And what that is it is a fish market, and then next door to it is a butcher shop. And we're gonna take a little dive into the fish market right now, because as I mentioned in the last segment, we don't get an opportunity to talk to somebody that really knows seafood and fish and how to put it on the grill, how to select it. To me, I walk up to the window, Jeff, and I'm confused. I know a few pieces of fish, but boy, there's stuff there that from a Michigan boy that's freshwater. When I see something that's out of an ocean with a big O eye looking at me or something, I got to learn how to buy that stuff. So tell us a little bit about what your business is and how you can help us if we walk
through. Right. Well, based off of what you just said, you know, you can look at it one of two ways. As a owner of a fresh fish market, it can be a challenge in one way, because you have a certain demographic here in the Midwest that isn't familiar with a lot of seafood product. The other side of that is you have a whole group of people that are excited about trying new things.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, at Fish Lads, we try to offer a huge variety for people, and everything is fresh. None of it's frozen. Everything is air freighted in. So, yeah, it can be overwhelming, to say the least, for a first-time visitor.
I'd liken it, Nick, to walking up to the craft beer store, and there's 600 bottles of craft beer at some of our better stores like Siciliano's, right?
Absolutely.
And you're like, where do I start?
Right.
And it's the same thing, yeah. Jeff, is like, I see stuff I don't even know what it is sometimes.
And that's the fun of it. You know, that's the fun of having the staff there that can walk you through the decision-making process. We can narrow it down. Okay, how do you want to cook is the first question that we ask. You know, do you want to put something on the grill? And if that's the answer, then we can take you to a section of the whole fish, or we can talk about shellfish, or we can talk about the fish that are going to work out better on the grill versus in the oven, or if we're going to fry something.
And what are those tendencies of a fish that'll work out better on the grill? I mean, right. If somebody wanted to know what that is.
You know, one of the best ways to do fish on the grill is to do it whole. And there again presents a whole nother set of circumstances that really seem to intimidate people, yet cooking fish whole is the most simplistic and best way to do it. A lot of the fish come in whole. We have a whole fish display. We're there to, you know, scale them, and we'll take the guts out, and we'll do whatever it takes.
So they're truly all intact when you receive them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But we're there to clean them up and get them ready. But when you're going to put a whole fish on the grill, let's say, you know, we'll scale them, we'll take the guts out, we'll take the gills out, but then you're left with a whole fish. And if you're going to get that ready for the grill, it's so easy. You know, you can just season it with olive oil and salt and pepper, and then you can stuff the belly with, let's say, lemon wedges and fresh parsley, and you put that on the grill, and you're in business. It's very straightforward, and it almost simplifies things to the point where it's almost easier.
So there's skin on the fish still. You've scaled it, but the skin is still there. So on a whole fish, obviously, I've got skin on both sides. It's not like a fillet. So when I put that on the grill, what are the two or three things I need to do to make sure, one, it doesn't stick and fall apart, but two, how do I know when to flip it?
Yeah, those are all big issues, and those are things that could certainly intimidate, scare people away from the whole process. You need to have a grill that'll get hot, of course. You know, when I say hot, you know, 400, 500 degrees.
So you're going to open this thing right up to high.
You're going to open it up.
Right, okay.
The next thing that you want to do is clean the grill as best you can. You want it nice and clean. You don't want any leftover food debris on there. Those are the things that are really going to adhere to the skin.
Yeah, I would take a little sidebar on a safety note here. Every year we hear about the people that use the old wire brushes to clean the grill, and one of those wires will come out and stick in the stuff that's on the grill. You put the piece of food on there, somehow it gets into the food, and then it gets into your mouth.
Right.
Very, very dangerous. Do not skimp on your grill brush. Okay, get a new one every year.
Yeah.
They're $7-$8, $10 at most, and then just throw the other one away. You don't ever want that to happen. But anyway, back to the fish.
You know, step three kind of, you know, will help with that problem, because, you know, in order to, you know, decrease that possibility of it sticking, you obviously need to lubricate that hot surface.
Right.
Best bet, paper towel, cheap vegetable oil, jar, you know, dump the oil onto the towel, grab the tongs, and you're just going to rub that back and forth.
Right.
And you're going to do it. You need to do it, you know, 10, 20, even 30 times. But what you're doing is you're building a layer of lubrication one after the next. Each time you swipe that back and forth, you're actually adding a layer on that grill.
Is this before you light the grill or after it's hot?
This is after it's hot.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And then when you have the fish ready to go, obviously you want that fish to be patted dry. You want to get as much moisture as in water. You don't want water on there. You want to get it dry, and then you can put your fat on the fish, whether that be olive oil or butter or whatever it may be. Olive oil works fine. You would rub that down, season it, and then you put it right on that grill surface that you just lubricated with your paper towel and oil.
Okay.
And then the next most important thing is you don't move it. You have to let
That is the tendency of a lot of people, is that they want to fuss with it.
They really do.
When it's on the grill.
It's a funny thing. It's almost ingrained in us that we can't just walk away from it, you know? it really makes all the difference in the world.
The wisdom of George Foreman, right?
Yeah.
Set it and forget it.
Yeah. Right.
It's nice that brewing is a little bit more like, it is set it and forget it. Oh, the boil's going. Right. I'm just going to walk away from this. Right. I'm used to that, so fish might be up my alley.
But once you get that fish down on that first side, you want, you know, skin, the fish skin is in my opinion, the best part of it. It's so funny to me when I see people eating fish and it has this perfectly caramelized, beautiful, crispy skin, and the first thing they do is just peel that off and set it aside or toss it.
Right.
It's like it's almost
you're losing most of the flavor.
Yeah, a part of me dies inside when I see it happen.
Here's too. And
right. So once you leave that on the grill and that skin gets nice and crispy and caramelized, it'll actually release itself from the grill.
Right.
You know, and you walk away from it for 4 minutes at a high temperature. You come back to it. You can nestle the tongs right underneath it or the spatula, and you're literally just rolling it over onto the next side, and then shut the lid and walk away from it for another couple minutes, and you're good to go. You know, if you have a probe thermometer, obviously you want that temperature on the inside to be, you know, get it up to 140, you know, and walk, right. You know, pull it
it's
off
not
the grill.
It's not a 180, a 190 deal.
No, you don't need to over. Right. The more that you overcook, depending on what it is, if it has a high fat content, like salmon or bronzini, things of that nature, pretty tough to overcook those, sea bass, things like that. But, you know, for the most part, you know, once you get up to that, definitely 140 is probably even overkill.
Okay.
Know, 120, 125.
Well, that's cool.
Even.
So yeah. So don't mess with it. Let the grill do the work.
That's right.
And then when it, if you took like a little fork or the edge of your tongue, does it need to flake?
You would
is
want
that
it to
an
flake.
Indicator too?
Yeah, and it depends again on what it is. I mean, if we're dealing with something that we're going to leave rare in the middle, like a tuna steak or something like that, then we're just going to sear the outside. So there's so many different layers to it. But if you want a fish that's cooked all the way through, then yeah, you want to see that flaking.
So let me ask you, what is your favorite kind of fish on the grill or seafood?
I'm a sucker for oysters. Oysters are probably one of my favorite foods. And I have had a hard time narrowing that down over my lifetime.
Sure. Lots of different regions that produce
them.
Yeah,
but I think oysters as a whole, it's just such a simple animal. You don't really have to add a lot to it to appreciate a majorly complex flavor profile. And then, you know, putting that on the grill in its simplest form, letting the shell pop open. You're not really letting it cook all the way through because as it cooks all the way through, it'll shrink up and become a rubbery texture.
Right.
But you let it go long enough for the shell to pop, and then it's very easy to get into them. And there's this luscious liquor is what it's called, the oyster liquor.
Right.
That heats up really nice, and you've just got this beautiful.
You just slurp the whole thing.
Yeah.
Take a little knife, pop it off the shell.
Take a little nudge to release it from the shell, and you're in business. You can throw a shot of Tabasco on there and a drop of lemon juice, and you'll sit all – you won't even move. You just hang out by the grill, have your oysters, and put them on, take them off, eat them.
Depending on the variety of the oysters, some are a little saltier than others.
Yeah. You know, oysters are going to taste like oysters.
Right.
The variance in flavor and texture is all over the board. I mean, there's a Baylong flat, which is a European oyster that is a very metallic flavor. And then you have a lot of oysters on the West Coast, which will come across very melony and a sweeter flavor. And then your typical East Coast oyster is more on the salty, briny side. So there really is a huge difference.
Okay, Jeff, we have just scratched the surface of where I want to go with this thing. I'd like to ask you to hang around for the next segment,
sure.
If you could, because I want to dive into this deeper. I want Nick to pair up some beers with this stuff. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barely wanted to get some fish. Jump in my John boat. I stole my gear. I fire up, and when I'm in the clear, I sail across that water. Ready, here I come, you 5 pounds fast.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to TheGrillinGuys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's TheGrillinGuys.com.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical down in New Orleans doing a little research for us. I know he has spent an evening with T-Gid. If you're a listener of the show, you know who he is, our, from Lafayette, Louisiana. I know he spent some time there. So I'm expecting him to come back with a whole new excitement for Cajun cooking. But sitting in the chair in Big Bob's absence is Nick Roloffs from Gravel Bottom Brewery.
Yep.
Hey, Nick. We're going to dive into a little bit of beer in the fourth segment.
Fantastic.
But right now, we're going to dive back into the ocean with our friend Jeff Butzow from Fish Lads. And what I wanted to talk about, Jeff, next is two things. And the first one I want to talk about is when I walk up to your window at the fish market, and you've got 40, 50 feet of display, everything's on ice, it's beautiful, and might I note, it doesn't smell fishy. It's a real fresh, wonderful place to be, but I'm overwhelmed. What are the three to five things, two to three, whatever it may be, that I should be educated on when I walk to a fresh fish window so that I can ask you the right questions so that we can get on the same page?
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, the fastest way for us to pin down and help out, you know, make the decision and help you along the way is, you know, we always ask, how are you going to be cooking? And that really narrows it down for us, and we can point you in the right direction. So since we're talking about grilling specifically, to kind of, you know, put it into categories, I would say definitely start with a whole fish option. Any of the whole fish that we have on display at any given time, we usually have probably, I don't know, 12 to 15 different options. There may be one or two that probably wouldn't work out on the grill, like let's say a whole fresh white fish. If, you know, a lot of the flakier fish doesn't really hold up well on the grill. Something like that, though, would be really nice for smoking. I mean, that's not outside of the realm here. And again, if you were to smoke that, you would want to leave it whole, you know, with the bones and the skin and everything, and that kind of holds everything together, and that's really where you get moisture, you know, and the flavor holds together, you know, the skin and the bones and everything. There's a lot of flavor that comes out of that. It's no different than cooking a bone-in porterhouse or whatever else it may be. You know, those bones provide a lot of that moisture and flavor.
Right.
But then the other whole fish, you know, you're looking at something with a higher fat content. There's black sea bass, which is wonderful on the grill. There's whole snappers that you can do on the grill, no problem, with any kind of like South American flavors. You're talking about olive oil and chili flake and cilantro and lime in the belly, you know, and let that sit for a while and then serve it with any kind of smoky chipotle or chilies and adobo on top of that would be awesome.
Nick, chilies, adobos, all those seasonings. What are you thinking about pairing a beer with something like that?
Oh, man. So with the lighter thing now, we've gone from when you were talking earlier about the you know, the juicy beef. Now we're talking about fish with bright citrus and spicy characteristics. I think my first instinct is to go to something which is, you know, classically my favorite, pale ales and IPAs, because they're not going to be so overwhelming that they're going to overpower the fish, but they're going to have enough structure to contrast those flavors that you're getting off of, you know, stuffing the fish with citrus and cilantro. And I had a question, is that a kind of a common practice to stuff herb inside of the fish?
Yeah, usually if I'm getting ready to put something on the grill, I'll have all that fish prepared and rub down with the olive oil and whatever seasonings, and then by, you know, putting the lime wedges or citrus or whatever herbs inside, you know, then you're allowing that to marinate. It's not really a marinade so much, you know, a lot of that stuff.
It's more topical.
It'll come through,
yeah,
right? It'll come through as it cooks, but a lot of it is a garnish afterwards or adding, you know.
So if we stuck with the grill, then is there, you've got, it sounds like whitefish, those are fresh fish, where right. And you talked about sea bass, which are ocean fish.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say, you know, once we go through the whole fish, then we have a whole display of fish that we fillet in-house, and that's on display. So all different kinds of fresh salmon. Any given time of year, we always have a fresh wild salmon choice. It just depends on what time of year. I lived out in Seattle for a long time. You know, grilling salmon is just like at least a once a week thing.
Like grilling a hamburger here.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. And again, it goes back to that leaving the skin on one side and getting that skin nice and crispy, letting the salmon cook all the way through. You know, you can't go wrong with a nice piece of Wild King salmon, olive oil, hit it with a little bit of brown sugar. I mean, it's so simple. That's the great thing about fish cookery. You right. know, it's not a matter of overcomplicating. It's not a whole day's worth of planning and soaking and brining or anything like this. It's really just enjoying the simplicity and the delicate flavor. So when you're looking at the fillets, I guess, you know, the number one thing that you have to concern yourself regarding grilling is you definitely want something with a high fat content.
Okay. And you can help with that. What kind of fishes are the fat?
Again, you go through, you know, all the salmon is great. Chilean sea bass is an awesome fish for the grill. It's virtually impossible to overcook sea bass because it has that huge fat content. You can do things like snapper, and there's a few other options that would work, but you're almost better off doing those as a whole fish because you're dealing with a more delicate texture. You don't want the nightmare scenario where you try to flip something and it just disintegrates on the grill. But then, you know, the shellfish or the crustaceans, you know, it's limitless possibilities when we're talking about shrimp. When we're talking about lobster tails, you know, you might only invite the people that you like over that day. Make sure that you like them if you're going into those
kind
of
things. That's fillet day, too, right? The beef side, right? Yeah.
But then the shellfish side of things, too, like I was talking about oysters earlier, that is an awesome item to throw on the grill. You got your buddies over or whatever, and you're just hanging out on game day. Like I said, you'll be hanging out by the grill. You can literally just take them off the grill. Eat them as you're, you know,
as they pop open,
as you're hanging out.
Kind of you want to drag the TV out to the grill area, I mean, or bring the grill inside if you got proper ventilation.
I mean, you seriously will find yourself just hanging out around the grill all day long. Another great one.
And you have these most of the time in your market?
All the time. Yeah, year round.
So for the people that don't know, where is your market located?
We're right downtown Grand Rapids. We're in the downtown market, which is on Ionia. It's very accessible, easy to get to, hard to miss.
Tons of parking.
I got one question. What's for people that are kind of maybe already listening and already familiar with some of the things that they might throw on the grill in terms of seafood, what's something more exotic that you might throw on the grill and encourage somebody to, you should check this out. This is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, we do bring in a lot of fish from the South Pacific. So we're talking about ahi tuna is a big one. I've done ahi tuna that, you know, sits in a citrus marinade, which is just be orange juice and soda water that soaks it up really easily. Then you can cut that down into chunks. You could even roll that then in like a fennel seed or something like that. You grill it really quick on each side, and then you would slice that on a bias, and you get this beautiful red, you know,
right,
raw.
Red in the center, gray done on the outside with the seed on there. And that sounds gourmet.
Yeah.
But you know what? Three ingredients. You got her done.
Yeah.
Right? But I really would want to touch on real quick. You said soda water in your orange juice. What's that do?
The jury's out on that.
Okay.
I seem to think that it helps penetrate the intermuscular tissue. But, you know, I'm not Alton Brown here. I'm not going to break it down into a science.
But no, I get
it. I think it lends itself to breaking down that outside texture. So it's going to absorb that citrus a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But other exotics, you know, we have mahi. I mean, you're talking about a teriyaki glaze or something to that effect. All those sweet flavors work out great.
Yeah, so the teriyaki glaze usually has a little bit of a higher sugar content in it, right?
Yeah.
And that higher sugar content has a tendency to caramelize, but if I go too far, it gets bitter.
Right.
So maybe you could give us a tip on, with regard to fish, how are we going to know when we're at the dunce point?
The other great thing about fish cookery on a grill is your cooking time is next to nothing. You know, you're like I said, you don't need half a day to work on this stuff. With mahi, you know, it doesn't have a very fine flaky texture. You can cube that. You could even skewer it and put it on a hot grill. And as you're sitting there looking at it, literally, you can baste it with that teriyaki. Give it a flip. It's going to caramelize. By the time it caramelizes, your fish is already cooked all the way through. You can yank it off the grill. It's not going to sit and get bitter on you.
Right. Awesome. Jeff Butzo, Fish Lads and Carvers, thanks so much for being part of the Grilling Guys this weekend.
Yeah.
You know what? Lots of great information. Learned stuff from you every time I talk with you. I'm going to darken your door, and we're going to pull a little fish on the grill and see how I can do, because I'm absolutely a novice when it comes to that, but feeling better now.
Great.
So, all right.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Chef Andrew Smith from Meritage Group. If you don't want to grill at your house, he'll do it for you at his restaurant. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Thank you, man. Just a 12-pack of cans, and I'll be good to go.
We live it, we love it, Alan Bob Sports.
Alan Bob Sports Big Buck Photo Contest is back. With adult and youth divisions, Alan Bob's is picking two $20 gift certificate winners every week and giving away two grand prizes of a Muddy BS 360 hunting blind and a $250 Alan Bob's gift certificate. Just bag your buck and take a great photo. Entry instructions are at AlanBob's.com or on Alan Bob's Facebook page. Alan Bob's Big Buck Photo Contest is running now through November 29th.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I hope you enjoyed that last couple segments with Jeff Butzo from Fish Lads. The guy's a world of knowledge. We didn't even scratch the surface of what he could tell us about grilling and cooking seafood. But I got another guy on the grilling line right now that is also knows a tremendous amount about cooking. He is a professional chef. He's stepped out of the kitchen now and into the corporate world and running a whole series of restaurants as what I call the CFO, the chief food officer. I don't know if that's his formal term, but at the end of the day, this is one of the smartest chefs I know, and we're lucky to have him on the line. Joining us right now is Chef Andrew Smith from the Meritage Group. Drew, how you doing today, brother?
Excellent, Rand. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. And big shout out to you. Saturday, we drug him out of bed at about 4:30 in the morning and threw him in the grilling rig and took him over to Michigan State with us. And we threw down a pretty good-sized tailgate, and it was a pleasure having you there and watching you work.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Too bad the outcome of the game wasn't different.
But, yeah, I know. We're all Sparties, and I said that in the first segment. You know what? Hail to the victors. They won. We'll take it like a man, and we'll get back after them next year. But, Drew, I wanted to touch base a little bit for the listeners. I teed everybody up with your lamb chops, and I talked a little bit about them here with the gentleman from Carver's, and I just wanted you to, if you, without giving away too many of your secrets, give us the tips on seasoning and grilling those lamb chops, because they were a huge hit at the tailgate.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Those lamb chops are kind of a real Mediterranean-style brine that I do on them, and I do a brine and not a marinade. You know, earlier in my career, I did a lot of marinades, and, you know, marinades are really great for tougher cuts of meat that you're going to, you know, braise for a long time, that you want to break down that, that, you know, connective tissue that's all tough in that. But, you know, most of the meats, especially a lot of the leaner meats like pork and rib meat, is fairly tender already to start with. So, you know, with the brine, what you're trying to do is just get more flavor into the meat itself. And by having that high salinity solution of the brine, you're going to get more flavor in it without making the meat all tough. And that, that marinade is, you know, really just a basic marinade brine of a little bit of red wine. We put some fresh garlic in there, your Italian herbs that you like to use. And I always like to use fresh on those. Little red pepper flake, lemon zest, and I put a little bit of ground sumac in that just to push that Mediterranean flavor a little bit more. Cut your lamb racks. Let them marinate overnight up to, or, you know, brine up to, you know, a day, 2 days max. And then we're just throwing them on the grill, grilling them to a nice medium rare medium, and then season them with some salt and pepper. And that's really the gist of it, you know. And that whole thing on that brine is, if you like more garlic, you like more garlic, throw more in. You know, if you like more of the herb flavor, throw more. You know, if you want more spice, throw more red pepper, or, you know, whatever else you want in there. So, it's, you know, it's all personal in how you do those brines and marinades, you know, to your liking. So that in a nutshell, when you're cooking those meats, is just think about, is it a tough piece of meat that you need to marinate to break down those tendons and connective tissue to make it a little bit more tender? Or are you looking to, you know, just inject more flavor into it, and that's where you want to use that brine more.
Yeah, very cool. That you make it sound so easy, but there's a... You're the first guy I know that is cooking with Schumach. So, anyway, we are co-hosting with me today. Barbecue Bob's out of town is Nick Roloffs from Gravel Bottom Brewery. Nick, after hearing Chef Andrew describe that, what came to your mind as far as a really good craft beer to put with it?
My God, there's a lot of directions you can go with that, and just listening to the different amount of spices and everything that went in there. I think it kind of depends on very much how the individual plays with that brine marinade, as he's talking about. First thing that popped in my head with that sumac is kind of, I'm trying to remember, I remember a local brewery doing something with sumac and just being really interesting. Gut impulse, I was thinking like an amber ale, because it just, you got a lot going on with that. You just kind of want something that's going to be malty and balanced, that's going to really pair well with all the flavor that's happening there, without, again, overpowering the dish. Because I think food is always supposed to be kind of the main thing, and the beer is like the thing that emphasizes it.
Right.
The other direction you can go, and to each their own, because some people aren't really into Belgian beers and that sort of thing. But I kind of was thinking like, you know, a nice Belgian Dubbel, which is kind of the equivalent of like a Belgian amber ale in that sense. But it's going to have a little bit more sweet notes that might key off of some of the spice that's going into that that dish with those lamb.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Drew, I got a beer expert and I got a food expert on the line here with you. Tell us a little bit about this new restaurant that you guys have opened, because I've had the opportunity to have meals there a couple times. It's been fabulous. You've got this place in downtown Grand Rapids called The Wheelhouse. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so, you know, The Wheelhouse opened in May of this year. And, you know, in a nutshell, it's an American-style bistro where we throw a lot of different flavors, French, Italian, Spanish food into it, American flavors. But what really makes it unique is the chef that we've got there, Andrew Alsted, who we recruited. And this guy is just uber talented and can take some of the most basic dishes and put really interesting twists on them that you're just not seeing a lot around town. And he's got a very refined palate for blending flavors together. And making very unique things. We did a dish for Art Prize, which we called the Starving Artist, which was a take on Salisbury steak, except it was amped up about 300 degrees.
Yeah.
And it was just a really cool dish. Had a lot of really great positive comments on it. You know, we're coming into cocktail week for Grand Rapids, and we've got two new appetizers that we're going to be doing that are just really incredible. He's doing a shishito pepper popper, which is basically like a deconstructed popper. Really interesting take on what people would think of your basic jalapeno poppers. And then we're doing a tuna tartar taco that is actually done in a fried taro root shell. And it's just his mind thinks a lot differently than a lot of chefs out there. And my hat really goes off to him. It's great working with him. He's like a little mad scientist back in that kitchen, and really love working with this guy. And if you haven't been into the Wheelhouse to try the food, this guy would definitely light you up and make you a believer in his style of food.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
It's a huge restaurant. We've got 24 different beers and ciders on tap, great wine list, and the food and service and ambiance. You know, we're right next to the Van Andel Arena. It's just a perfect place to come if you're coming downtown for an event or whatever. But if you haven't been there to check it out, you got to go to check it out. And I know you haven't been there, Randy, so I think you and I are due for a little happy hour celebration down there.
You know what? I accept your offer. I have to be honest. I did sneak in there a couple times already, but I'd rather go with you because I'm thinking somebody could direct me around the menu, and we would have a fabulous time. So I accept your offer.
All righty.
But anyway, Drew, thanks so much for your time. You've got other restaurants around, the Crooked Goose, the Twisted Rooster. Those are all around the state. So appreciate all you do and stepping up and helping the grilling guys this last weekend at the tailgate.
No problem. Anytime, Jop. Good talking to you.
All right. Very good. That's Andrew Smith. He's the corporate executive chef for the Meritage Corporation, owns several restaurants around. Nick? We had this thing called a pork wing that he brought to the tailgate. And basically what it was is it was about a 3-inch long, 2-ounce portion of a pork rib, the okay. very tip of it. And the meat was kind of pulled down on it, and they boil them. But they boil them in a bag. The bag is being boiled, but the meat is on the inside cooking in its own juices.
Right.
So they were pre-cooked when we got them. We just rolled them in some sauce and put them on, but man, were those things a hit. But where I want to go with this is that we did kind of a sweet and a little bit of a hot barbecue sauce
okay.
on those. You know what? We had two beers is all we had at the tailgate.
What were those two beers?
One was Founders PC Pils.
Okay.
And the other one was Heineken.
Okay.
Right? And it was our guest. Yeah. Right. Right. We were guests. We didn't provide the alcohol.
Right. And so, you don't, beggars can't be choosers.
Right. Exactly. But it didn't seem like either one of those were the right one for it. So lots of guys do barbecue ribs on the grill. What are you thinking, man?
Man, okay, so I think this just comes from a tradition of people being like, you know, I got my chore beer in my hand and I'm just grilling, that right. sort of thing. The PC Pils is not a bad option by any means. It is the lighter beer, but if you want a little more oomph, again, you're looking at color. You want a pair, so you get some spice, a good thing that stands up to spice without getting overwhelmed, obviously, and it's my go-to all the time is, you know, pick your IPA. And everyone loves, you know, two-hearted IPA and that right. sort of thing. And that's definitely a good direction to go in. But other than that, you know, you can take your pick. Get something like a little hued that's going to kind of match that barbecue sauce when you're looking at your beer color. And that's going to be something that kind of is a dead giveaway that you're going to be in the right direction.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about that beer color. We got a little bonus segment coming your way. And we're going to let Nick run wild on helping you pick the best beer you can for your palate. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com. Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Pasty and Barbecue Shop in downtown Saranac, Michigan. I'm pinch hitting for Barbecue Bob. He's down in New Orleans. But Man Law today is the dressing. This is in regard to our recent Halloween celebration last week, right? This is a pet peeve of mine, so all puns intended. the dressing of any pet for any reason in a costume is not acceptable. Any garment that is not part of the animal shall not be allowed to be attached to the animal. I have one exception, though. Love the dressed-up monkey, right? With the little chingers, the symbols, and he's running the grinder, yeah. But, you know, neighbors coming by with their dogs in a skeleton suit or their dog in a lion costume. Nah, man, it's a dog.
But what if you dress up your dog as Cujo, you know, Stephen King's Cujo? Then it kind of, I think it fits.
Yeah.
I would argue, as long as it doesn't make it not a dog.
Right. That's the voice of Nick Roloffs. He's the brewer at Gravel Bottom Brewery, and we're going to wrap the show up today with Nick. I'm sure that as you, because you pull double duty, you actually run the bar as well as you're brewing the beer in the tap room. So, you know, people walk up there. What kind of questions do they ask you generally about the beer that's there? And how are you educating them to help them make the right choice for their palate?
Awesome. I'm gonna do this in the least critical way possible. Because, you know, obviously bartenders get their pet peeves, the questions that are asked every single time. But honestly, one of the biggest challenges for people coming in is that for a lot of people, craft beer is a relatively new thing. I mean, I was born of it, but many people, you know, have grown up drinking domestics for a very long time. And so their palates are relatively new to the whole experience. So a big thing is they say, I want something that's not hoppy. And we were talking about this the other day, but it's a misconception that people think that, you know, certain beers are hoppy, because all beers have hops in them. I mean, not all of them, but that's a technicality. Honestly, the biggest thing is that people, what they're really looking for is balance. And I feel like so many breweries, there was a trend, you know, they wanted to make the biggest, hoppiest monster IPA that they could. And my perspective on that is that it polarizes your audience. So honestly, you know, making a good IPA that's about the flavor of it versus, you know, the bitterness of it is very important. That's one question, you know, what's not hoppy? So then I have to, you know, show them, well, you can have something like, you know, a pale ale can still be, have some hops to it, but not be too hoppy. Or they want something fruity. And that, in another case, can be, there doesn't have to be any fruit in a beer for it to be fruity. Sometimes it comes from the yeast's naturally produced esters or from a certain type of hop that you use that has a fruity note to it. Right now at Gravel Bottom, we have a beer I think we're on the last keg of it, called Fred.
Because Fred's a good guy.
Fred's a good guy, yeah. And he goes quick. But I added a certain type of hop called Nelson Sauvin that gives it kind of this fruity finish. No fruit was harmed in the making of that beer. But so when people come in, they want something fruity, I'd give them that. They're surprised. They enjoy it. And another big trend, I think, is a lot of people are getting into, like, they really like that big malt profile. So they're looking for, give me something that's a stout. Give me something rich and malty.
Right.
And so, you know, then you have to kind of guide them in the right direction. Or they think that they like Guinness. So what would I like that's like that? And you hand them a breakfast stout and they're like, whoa, this is amazing. And the chocolate and the coffee. So it just goes to show that there's a lot of people out there that are just scratching the surface of understanding what they like about beer.
Nick Roloffs, brewer, Gravel Bottom Brewery. Tell us where Gravel Bottom is.
Gravel Bottom is located in Ada, Michigan, which is just east of Grand Rapids by a few miles.
Right on M21.
Right
off
there.
I will tell you that it's my local pub, which is why Nick is sitting here beside me, because my business is just about a quarter mile from his. So anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Hey, if you're out there deer hunting, be safe. Get up and down out of that tree in a safe manner, and we hope you get a big buck. But thanks for tuning in. We'll talk with you next week.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.